Wow, welcome everyone. Good morning, everybody. Welcome and glory to God, for He is good and His word endures forever. Hello. I know you're trying to sleep, but wow, I did not know you were awake. I thought you were sleeping, but hey, God is good all the time, and all the time He is good, and He loves each and every one of you guys. Welcome, people from Romania, from the United States of America, from UK, Europe, wherever you're from Africa, I love it. So, glory to God. Amen. A new day. New day. And God's mercy are new every morning. Pastor Pan loves you, and Jesus, He loves you even more. Today we're talking about the lifestyle of true worship, which is from 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 24 to 33. And we're going to be having an amazing time of reflection, a time being built up by God's word, letting it be authoritative, letting it dictate our life, letting it allow a life to be built upon the firm foundation of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. And so, good morning and welcome. I'm going to grab one of our little plushies so that I can put our little baby there. But, yeah. Wow, there you go. Plushies are great. For new parents out there, plushies are fantastic for holding babies. Because, you know, babies get heavy. But it's okay. Glory to God for newborn babies, because it's just life. It's just so precious. Anyways, let's get this started. The lifestyle of true worship from 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 24 to 33. The king of Assyria brought people from Babylon, Cuthath, Ava, Hamath, Sepharvaim, and settled them in the towns of Samaria to replace the Israelites. And they took over Samaria, and they lived in its towns. And when they first lived there, they did not worship the Lord. So He sent lions among them, and they killed some people. And it was reported to the kings of Assyria, "The people you have deported and resettled in the towns of Samaria do not know of the God of the country requires." And He had sent lions among them, which were killing them off, because the people do not know what He requires. Now, the king of Assyria gave this order: "Have one of the priests you took captive from Samaria to go back to live there and to teach the people what the God of the land requires." So, one of the priests who had been in exile from Samaria came to live in Bethel and taught them how to worship the Lord, the one true God. Nevertheless, each national group made its own gods in several towns where they settled, and set them up in the shrines of the people of Samaria that had made the high places. Set them up in the shrines of the people of Samaria. Yes. And then verse 30. The people of Babylon made Succoth Benoth, the men of Cuthath, and made Nergal, and the men from Hamath made Amshima. So there was like several different gods that were being set up by different types of people, and they were just invading Samaria with many false gods. And so the Avites and Nibhath and Tartak and the Sepharvites, these are tough names, burned their children in the fire as sacrifices to Adoram-Melech and Anam-Melech, the gods of Sepharvaim. And they worshipped the Lord, but they appointed all sorts of their own people to officiate them as priests in shrines at high places. And they worshipped the Lord but they also served their own gods in accordance to the customs of the nation, and then from which they were brought. Wow. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your wisdom. We thank you for all that you've done for us. We thank you that you've given us each and everything that we need to understand this passage. Even though it's so confusing, we're like, what can we learn from this? But Lord God, we see so many different things here, like the sin of Samaria, the sin of the people who were worshiping false gods and false idols and bringing that from foreign nations and just invading the northern kingdom. We see the fall of northern kingdom. So Lord God, I pray that you would allow us to understand this and allow us to walk in your ways, to build our life upon your firm foundation and to accept your word and allow us to just be transformed and to know you way more. In Jesus' most holy name, amen. Yes, God is so good. And as we look from verse 24 to 33, we really see a warning of whom the reader of the scripture was a warning to those who fall away from the one true God. And then the promised land, which was where Israel, northern kingdom, was resonated or was settled down, now, after 200 years of worshiping false idols, there was no return. And then they fell into destruction, into the hands of the enemies. And so, sometime after Israel's fall, the Assyrians repopulated the land with foreign refugees from their conquered nations. And a close study of this point needs to be made, for the point closes with a striking warning to the reader. Under the Assyrian king, Tiglath-Pileser III, a policy was begun of transferring or transplanting the populace of conquered nations into foreign nations. And by switching the inhabitants, the king hoped to break the loyalty of the people to their land, own their land, and to transfer their allegiance to Assyria. Moreover, the transfer or transplantation policy helped eliminate the possibility of any major uprising. It is also assuring the intermarriage between various nations and the elimination of distinct nationalities, which helped weaken the allegiance of the people to their homeland. And with this as background, note this scripture outline. It shows the settlement of foreign refugees in the land of Israel, which is a clear warning to us as readers. As the foreigners resettled in Israel to replace the Israelites from Babylonian, Kethas, Ava, Hamath, and Sepharvaim. You see, Hamath here, people think Hamath, Palestine, and it's mentioned in the Bible. And so, there was an immediate problem faced by the settlers, by the foreigners. Their ignorance of the Lord caused lions to kill people due to God's judgment, and their appeal to the king stated that they were foreigners who did not know how to worship the God of that land, and they felt that the God of that land was displeased and had sent lions to punish and kill them off. And the settlers, they request for help granted by the Assyrian king. He sent priests who were originally there, and the priest was an Israelite who has been taken from Samaria to Assyria during the exile. And the priest settled in Bethel, and he taught the people how to worship the Lord, the one and only living God. Wow. And then the settlers' corruption of the true worship of the Lord, they were like half-hearted worshiping God. Each of the national group of foreigners continued to worship their own gods and shrines. And Babylonians, they worshipped other, like, they all worship their own gods and shrines. And then they worship the Lord, but were led by false priests appointed by men instead of by God. Wow. And so we can see how they continued to live sinful lives, and they did not turn fully 100% to God. And so it is so important that we fully turn to the one true God, and that we obey His word and His commandment, and that we study it so that we do not fall in the same way as the Israelites did, and as the foreigners did. Even though they had the opportunity to worship the one true God, they still turned to the ways of the world, the ways of their false gods and false teachings. So, what can we learn from this? We can learn that there's beliefs in practice. Initially, the new inhabitants of Samaria do not fear the Lord. So, the Lord sent lions that killed some of them. And this prompts the king of Israel, Assyria, to order that one of the priests of Israel be sent to teach the people how God is to be worshipped. And the Assyrians mistakenly believed that God was confined to one particular area or jurisdiction. He is not. He's not confined to time, matter, or space. He's not confined to one people group or one particular age group. He is not confined to anything. Our God is the creator of time, matter, space. He's the creator of heaven and earth. He says in the Exodus chapter 19, verse 5, that earth is mine. He says in Haggai chapter 2, verse 9, that gold and silver are mine. And he says in Psalms, did you not know that the cattle on a thousand hills is mine? All the things that you see, it is God's. God's to give, God's to take away, and God to just bless us with. And so, God cannot be confined. He is not in a jurisdiction, just like these false idols that are physically present with them. But they have no ears, they have no eyes, they have no way to communicate. But our God is the one and true living God who has the power to communicate, power to bless, power to give you true peace in your life. And so it is ironic that the king of Assyria still cared enough to have inhabitants learn the proper way of worship, to worship the God of that promised land, the God of the Israelites. And whereas God's own people disregarded His laws that He's given them, and as followers of Christ, you must believe that we know that God has jurisdiction over all reality. But it's not enough to have right beliefs. We must examine whether those beliefs truly have impact on how we live our life. We must truly walk in His ways in obedience, strive for righteousness, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and He will add all things unto you. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. This is the first and greatest commandment of all. And then you must love your neighbors as yourself. So God has commands. The Bible is full of promises, but also full of contingencies, because the Bible is to allow you to understand who our God is, what He does, what He thinks, and how He operates. And then Jesus, He is the visible representation of the invisible God. He is the image of our God who is alive in heaven. And then Jesus, He is the one that completed and fulfilled the prophecies of the Old Testament. The Old Testament all points to Him. And that's why we can see how they did not worship the one true God. Instead, they worshiped false idols. They did not worship Jesus. They did not worship Yahweh. They did not worship the one that brought them out of bondage, the one that took them out of the slavery of Egypt, that rescued them. Instead, they were rebellious. And so God could not help them. And with that, the enemy, Assyria, conquered them because the protection of God was not upon them anymore. The provision of God was, they've been enjoying the prosperity. They've been enjoying the protection that God has given. But then they started worshiping the gifts that God has given instead of worshiping the giver of the gifts. And that's why it's so important to remember what God has done in your life and why you're where you're at right now. The only reason why I'm here sharing the Word of God with each one of you guys is because we have a God. Because God made it happen. And He was the one that saved me when I was broken, when I was lost, when I had no hope. He gave me hope. When I was in darkness, He brought me into His marvelous light. When I was blind, He let me see. When I was just confused, He gave me wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and discernment. And He can do the same for you. He can add to you because He is the God Almighty, El Shaddai, God of more than enough. Because He is Jehovah Jireh, my provider, God who meets all my needs. This is our God who we worship. This is our God who we follow. This is our God who never lets us down. And this is our God who is so good, so great, so mighty, so gracious, and so merciful that He sent His one and only begotten Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for us, the death that we deserve. And then He rose from the dead, defeating sin and death. He rose in victory, giving us the opportunity to live in Christ, live in His ways, live in His love, and to be redeemed and reconciled to Him, to have a relationship with Him, so that we do not need to be in desperation, in darkness, and we don't have to live life alone. Amen. And so, we love Jesus. We love what He's done. He made a way when there was no way. When sin was too big, too strong for us, He defeated it. And now you live in Christ, you are freed from sin, the bondage of sin. You are sanctified in Him. You are righteous. You're made holy. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so, we also see the standard of worship. The people served God however they saw fit. But they did not see any issues in worshiping both God and idols. But the Bible says you cannot have two masters at once. You can have only one. And they thought that as long as they were worshiping God, then God shouldn't mind if they continue worshiping their own gods from their own religion or region or their own people group. And this thought pattern is still prevalent today. Many people, even though they profess that they believe in Christ, they think that they can decide on how to worship God, that they can fit God in their own pockets. But that ain't true. God is not put in a box. God is not just for you to use exclusively when you need Him. No. God should be worshipped each and every day. And there should be no other God before Him. No other idols before Him. No other creatures that you would put above Him. No materialistic things should be put above our God, our Lord, our Savior. But so many people, they say, I go to church twice a year. I am a Christian. But that ain't a Christian. It ain't religion or tradition or rituals that we're aiming for. No, that's not true followers of God. It's a relationship with Jesus, relationship with God. And that takes prayer. That takes daily devotion, daily prayer. And it also takes building His community, having fellowship with people who love the Lord in the Word of God each and every day together. Amen. And so false worship may look like adding to or subtracting from God's command. Or it may look like merely giving lip service to God without truly honoring Him in the way one lives. God has shown you how He is to be worshipped through the Word of God, through examples of righteous, holy men and women of God. And if you truly want to honor Him, you will pay attention closely to what he has instructed. You will obey him. You will walk in his ways, and not in the ways of man. And so, deep diving into this passage, in resettling into the land, the Assyrian chose foreign refugees of five conquered nations to populate the territory. And coming from the regions of Babylon, Syria, the refugees were scattered throughout the towns of Samaria, and that is the northern kingdom capital of Israel. And through following generations, the mixing of these races with few Israelites who had been left behind are known as Samaritans, especially during the times of the New Testament. Samaritans are Jews plus foreigners, mixed blood. And so the Jews hated the Samaritans, and the Samaritans hated the Jews because they thought the Jews were like self-righteous. But we can see the downfall of the northern kingdom and how everything was operated, how there was different ethnicities. And then when the settlers arrived in the land of Israel, they faced an immediate problem. Lions were roaming around over the land since Assyrians had depopulated it. And as a result, some of the new settlers were being attacked and others were killed. And the scripture says this was a direct judgment of God, a judgment of being executed due to the settlers' false worship. And no doubt, the Lord was attempting to arouse them to turn to Him, the one and true living God. And in their desperation, the new settlers appealed to their king for help. And being polytheistic, the worshippers of many gods, they felt that the god of this particular land was displeased with their worship. So they shared this fact with the Assyrian kings, and apparently requesting the return of a priest of Israel who can instruct them in how to worship the one true God of Israel. And note how little help the Israelites were to those who had been left behind, how ignorant they were to the Lord. And obviously, they knew so little about the Lord and His word that they were unable to instruct or point the new settlers to Him. And granting the request of the settlers, the Assyrian king sent a priest back to help them. And although unnamed, the priests were the Israelites who had been taken from Samaria to Babylon during the exile. And the priests settling in Bethel began to teach the people how to worship the Lord, the only one and true living God. And sadly, however, the settlers corrupted true worship of the Lord. They corrupted it, and they committed four serious errors. Then each national group of foreigners continued to worship their false gods and shrine. None of them worshipped the Lord and none of them did it as the Lord instructed or demanded. Rather, the settlers worshipped as they always worshipped. The Babylonians, the Kathahians, the Hamath, the Avites, the Sepharvites, they all worshipped their own gods from their own nation, which was a big taboo. And knowing any details about the false gods with any accuracy or certainty is simply impossible. Being polytheistic, believing in or worshipping more than one god, the settlers had no problem in adding another god to their agenda. They worshipped the Lord, even appointing their own priest to lead them in worship. And of course, their own priest combined the worship of the true God with the worship of false gods during that time, which led to a religion of syncretism, a religion of compromise, of accommodation, a religion that accepted the viewpoints of all religions. And the settlers continued living sinful, wicked lives, and they had no fear for the Lord. Consequently, they did not worship him, nor obey his word and commandments. They ignored the fact that God has given his holy word to the world through Israel, but they still rejected it. And with this verse, the author, later tomorrow, we get to see how he warned the readers to remember of God's promises, God's covenant, his basic commandments, which we will see tomorrow. So, note how all four of the warnings given to the readers, us, is focused upon God's first 10 commandments. The first commandment says, "You shall have no other God before me or except for me. And you shall not create any images of me to represent God himself." God declares that people who think that there is no God are wrong, like the atheists. He says, "I am the Lord God, the true and living God." Atheists may deny God, but agnostic may question if God really exists. But God is forceful in his declaration. He says, I am the Lord your God. In which verse? It says, yeah. And then, number two, there is no object, no other being set up that is so-called God. Taking ideas and objects and beings and calling them God is forbidden, absolutely forbidden. The Lord himself, Yahweh, Jehovah, Jireh, emphasizes and declares in Isaiah chapter 42, verse 8, that I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. And the great apostle Paul declared in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5 to 6, it says, "For even if there is our so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, for us there is but one God and only one God, that's the Father, for whom all things and we exist for him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom all things that we exist through him." Interesting. We exist through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we exist for God, the Father in heaven. Amen. And so we are not to make any gods ahead of God. No gods at all. We make a God out of anything that we esteem or love, fear or serve more than God. Again, whatever the heart clings to, that is the God, the person's God. It may be to oneself. Frankly, many people are focused upon pleasing and satisfying themselves. So it's important not to put anything above the one true God. It's important to honor and glorify the one true God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our might, and no one else. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes. And a lot of people, they live by their own values and are concerned primarily on their own feelings, comfort, desires, and pleasures. They simply live like they how they want, by their own desires, and they do their own things, and they have exalted themselves to be their own God. Other people make gods out of heavenly bodies, science, energy, force, animals, images, money, property, positions, recognition, fame, career, power, family, sex, food, pleasure, latest fashion, cars, trucks, sports, recreation. A God can be anything or any person. Man's first allegiance, first loyalty, first devotion is to be to the Lord our God Almighty. That should be our first devotion. The Lord is to be the first in man's life, our life. We should say Jesus forever. And the first commandment of the Lord is to be obeyed. You shall have no other gods before me. And note, there's several other points that so-called gods of heavens and earth are nothing more than creations of man's imagination and hand. In Romans chapter 1, verse 22, verse 23, it says, professing to be wise, they became poor and fools, and exchanging the glory of the incorrupted God for an image of the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2 says, you know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols. However, you were led. Yeah. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of man's hand. And they have mouths, but they speak not. They have eyes, they have, but they see not. Ears they have, but they hear not. Nose they have, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet, but they walk not. Neither they speak through their throats. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusts in them. That's from Psalms chapter 115, verse 4 to 8. We know that there's only one true living God, and that is the Lord himself, Jehovah Jireh. We know that there's no master before above him. He is the King of kings, Lord of lords. He is Alpha, Omega, beginning and the end. There is one God. Mark chapter 12, verse 32 says, and the scribe said to him, right, teacher, you have truly stated that he is one, and there is no one else besides him. There is no one other but he. Jesus answered him in Mark chapter 12, verse 29, says, the first of all commandment is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, one God. Ladies and gentlemen, there is only one God. People might think, what? What about the triune God? What about Jesus? He's the Son of God. Yes, he is. What about the Father? Yes, he is. The Heavenly Father, he's God. What about the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They're all God, but God in one. Three beings in one. Think about it. Like water. There's liquid. Is that water? Yes. There's steam. Is that water? Pretty much, yeah. There's ice. Is that water? Yes, it is. There's solid. There's gas. And there's liquid. Three forms of water. But it's all water. It's all H2O. Just like God, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Saw God. So then we can understand God through water. Because our minds are so finite that we're not able to box him in. God cannot be put into a box. He is beyond our imagination. He is above what we can ever comprehend, what we can ever fathom. This is our God. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 22 says, for this reason you are great, O Lord our God, for there is no one like you. There is no one like our God. Then there's no God besides you, according to all that we have heard with our ears. There is only one sovereign creator who meets the man, the needs of man. There is only one and true living God, the Lord God himself. There's no one else besides him. And so let's trust in him. Let's walk in his ways. Let us not turn to the ways of man. Let us not turn to the ways of the world. Instead, turn to the ways of our Heavenly Father. Let's pray, and then you guys can ask questions. We can have an interactive time. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your promise. Thank you for just giving us everything that we need in order to get through each and every day. Lord God, we pray that you would continue leading us in everything that we do, everything that we say, everything that we are, and that you would use this to let us remember that there is only one God. Let us remember that you are the God who saves and the God who created all things and the God who brings us into a better place. Father, we cannot do anything without you. And so we pray that you would just come into our life, that you give us wisdom and understanding and knowledge and discernment. You guide us, transform us to become more like you, to be conformed to you, to your image, to live in righteousness, in holiness, in sanctification, Lord God. Father, we thank you for your word. Although there was many names, although we see many people hear about your word, but they still turn to their own false idols, to their false gods, and they did not fully worship you. Lord, let us not have multiple masters. Let you be our master. Let you be the one that we follow each and every day. Because without you, our life would be empty, would be void, would be broken. It is broken without you. So we thank you. Thank you for your promises. Thank you for your wisdom. There's much to be done. Much to be done. But we thank you that you have completed all things. And that you have, you're in charge of all things. Amen. In Jesus' most holy name. Amen. Ah, God, we also commit our life to you. To praying to you every day, to reading your word every day, and to building your community, because it is so good. And that way we will grow in you and be transformed in you. Lord God, I pray that you would allow us to find our rest in you and to grow in you each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Four questions. Number one, application question. How do you know whether or not you have given God full control over a circumstance or area of your life? Well, I have given to God my time, my talent, and my treasures. And then I think that's everything that I have. Everything that I have. My time, my treasure, and my talent. And that's how I know I have given God full control over every circumstance, every aspect of my life. Because those are the most valuable things in life. Your time, talent, treasures. Well, of course, family is valuable. But those are fellowship valuable. But time, talent, and treasures, those are something that really holds people's heart and really stops them from giving up everything to God. Yeah. So it's important that we give everything we have, what is most precious, what is closest to our heart. And if our time is God's, that we would want to be sanctified. We would want to grow in him. We would want to be made righteous in him. And we would want to walk in his ways and say, not my will, but yours be done. To trust in him. Submit to all his ways. Trust that he will make your path straight. Now, you cannot control situations. You cannot control circumstances. But you can control how you react. And we always turn to God. Because God is the one that allows us to live a life that is of meaning, of purpose. Live a life of victory, of breakthrough. Live a life that is glorifying to him. Amen. Number two, why is it important to know that God is sovereign over all reality? He knows all things. He sees all things. He's all-powerful, all-knowing. And this is our God, our Lord, our Savior. And we trust in him. Where we believe that he provided so many good, good things for each one of us. His promises are good. His love for us is so good. And then we know he is sovereign over all reality. And that's why you never have to lose hope. You know that death on earth is not the end. That's just the beginning of eternal life, everlasting life. And when you say yes to Jesus, then you will be in heaven forever with him. But if you reject him, you will be in eternal separation from him. So, him being in control of all things, I don't have to worry about a thing. I don't have to be worried about anything. Whatever happens, happens. And simply said, I say it is what it is. But I also say all glory to God. Give him all glory and praise that he deserves. Because this is our God, who is so good, so mighty, so wonderful. Amen. Number three, why does God only accept worship that he instructs? You see, if you follow the Ten Commandments, if you truly love him, then you will follow his commandment, which is love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. This is first and greatest commandment. And when you have that in your heart, then that will impact you, that will transform you, that will add to you, and God will be able to bless you. He will be able to add to you, yeah? Give you more than you can imagine. And so, why does God accept only the worship that he instructs? Well, God only accepts the worship he instructs because he's holy, he's perfect, he's perfection, and he knows the exact way to worship him, to honor him, the exact way to show that your heart is for him, loving him, walking in his ways. Why do you think people are tempted to worship according to their standards, other standards? Because they want that instant gratification. Because they're ignorant. Because they have not tasted of how good, how great the goodness of God is. Because everyone else is doing it. There's so many reasons. But we must continue praying, must continue growing, must continue building our life upon his firm foundation each and every day. Well, I gotta go. I have a meeting later, and plus, there's quite a few things to do. I know that God is blessing you guys and with you guys. And since I'm in the room right now, why don't I just do some pull-ups for you guys? Since I'm here. Oh. And then we can call it done. because I want you guys to be able to exercise, to grow. My baby's so comfortable. Maybe I can't do pull-ups now because baby's here. But, hey, all glory to God and may God bless you, be with you, and thank you for joining me in this daily live stream. Thank you for the follow, the likes. And, yeah, it's been busy. It's been tiring, but it's so rewarding to be able to be productive for God. May God bless you, and I'll see you guys next time. Panda out for now. Take care. You can see the recording later. But, hey, Jojo, Jogo, you're not late, but recording's on YouTube. Glory to God. Thank you, Gwen. Thank you, Lavender. Brianna. Thank you, Alma. Hello, Lightning Legend. God bless you. Take care, guys. Rock on. God bless you. Panda out. See you next time.